Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We thank you for tuning in to the True Gospel broadcast here on the Liberty Works Radio Network, a network that is worthy of your support. I'm Sam Adams, pastor of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida. You can find our website online at www.independencebaptist.com. On today's program, we're re-airing part two of a series that every American Christian needs to hear on America's role in Bible prophecy, presenting evidence to support what we see as an undeniable conclusion, that America is mentioned in Bible prophecy, that in fact, what was once a great Christian nation, what was once America the Beautiful, has become America the Babylon, that America is in fact the last day's commercial Babylon, described in Revelation chapter 18. If you've already convinced yourself to the contrary, then you need to hear this message.
Isaiah chapter 30, the Bible says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I hope that doesn't apply to you. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, the preachers, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. I believe this is one of the many scriptures in the Bible that describe America today, in particular American Christianity, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. I have been accused at times of being a doom and gloomer. I've been told I need to preach more uplifting and edifying messages. People want to feel good. They want to be encouraged. They want to be told everything will be all right. I do too. So they say to the seers, see not, prophets, prophesy not. Prophesy smooth things. Today's message is not a smooth message. I'm sorry if you came to hear a smooth sermon today, but I believe, and as a matter of fact, that doom and gloom is on the horizon for America. So does that make me a doom and gloomer? No, because I've got a bright future. I'm on the winning side. I'm no doom and gloomer, although for America, doom and gloom is on the horizon, because the Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. I'm here to tell you today, I believe these words in Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, apply directly and specifically to America. So I mentioned in the last message a couple weeks back on the false prophets of Babylon, for the last century, fundamental Christian eschatology has been dominated by two very dangerous and very blinding deceptions. The first dangerous deception is the mainstream pop doctrine of the pre-trib rapture of the church, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, that the church will be removed from the world scene before the Antichrist is revealed or comes to power. And though this doctrine is a complete hoax, taught nowhere in Scripture, the masses of those who call themselves Christians are still blinded by this great deception. Today's message is about the second dangerous deception that has blinded American Christians to the reality that exists in their own backyard, in their own nation. And that is this mainstream view that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. That America will simply fade from the world scene, perhaps after the pre-trib rapture, and it will lose its power, and then the Antichrist kingdom will arise in Europe as a revived Roman Empire. That's been the prevailing dominant view for the last 100 years. But I'm here to say that this thinking has been 100% wrong. America is in Bible prophecy. As I mentioned a couple of weeks back also, in a statement made by S. Frank Logsdon, who was the senior pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He said this, "It is unthinkable that God, who knows the end from the beginning, would pinpoint such small nations as Libya, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Syria in the prophetic declaration and completely overlook the wealthiest and most powerful nation on earth." But he said, too long we have evaded the question. Too long have we summarily grouped our country with the so-called revived Roman Empire. Too long have we persisted in terming the USA in prophecy as one of the lion's cubs, thus giving her but an inferential mention in the shadow of a diminishing Britain. I do believe, and I have for many years, that indeed America is the daughter of Babylon that is mentioned throughout the Bible in such in Old Testament passages in Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 50-51, and also this passage right here in Revelation chapter 18. I believe that is America. And I believe that America will suffer the judgment that has been decreed against her by Almighty God, the only one who knows and declares the end from the beginning. I personally weep for the transition that I have seen in America in my lifetime, this once great nation of America that was once without a doubt a great Christian nation. God did shed His grace on America, and this land was at one time truly America the Beautiful. But the message today is that America the Beautiful has become America the Babylon. As Mr. Barack Hussein Obama rightly stated in the campaign speech, and has repeated, by the way, on multiple occasions, he said, "Whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation." Obama admitted in that statement that America was once a Christian nation. He had to admit it because it's an undeniable fact of history, even declared to be so by the U.S. Supreme Court in a few different decisions, especially in an 1892 decision of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. And in reference to multiple state constitutions and public documents acknowledging Christianity in general to be the accepted religion of America, the Supreme Court said this: "There is no dissonance in these declarations." In other words, they're all in harmony. "There is a universal language pervading them all, having one meaning. They affirm and reaffirm that this is a religious nation. These are not individual sayings, declarations of private persons. They are organic utterances. They speak the voice of the entire people." Remember, this is 1892. We find in Updegraff versus the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania case, it was decided that Christianity, general Christianity, is and always has been a part of the common law of Pennsylvania. Not Christianity with an established church and tithes and spiritual courts, but Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men. And in the case of People versus Ruggles, Chancellor Kent, the great commentator on American law, speaking as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New York, said, "The people of this state, in common with the people of this country, profess the general doctrines of Christianity as the rule of their faith and practice. And to scandalize the author of these doctrines," as, by the way, Barack Hussein Obama does, "scandalize the author of these doctrines is not only in a religious point of view extremely impious, but even in respect to the obligations due to society, is a gross violation of decency and good order." They said the free, equal, and undisturbed enjoyment of religious opinion, whatever it may be, and free and decent discussions on any religious subject is granted and recurred. But to revile with malicious and blasphemous contempt the religion professed by almost the whole community is an abuse of that right. Nor are we bound by any expression in the Constitution, as some have strangely supposed, either not to punish at all or to punish indiscriminately the like attacks upon the religion of Mohammed or the Grand Lama. And for this plain reason, this case assumes that we are a Christian people, and the morality of the country is deeply engrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrines or worship of those imposters. The Supreme Court calling Mohammed and the Dalai Lama imposters. This was a Christian nation. There is no doubt that America was once a great Christian nation. God did shed His grace on America, and this land was at one time truly America the Beautiful. But that's no longer true. And the fact of the matter today is that America has turned its back on God. And the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America has forgotten God. America is being turned into hell. And America the Beautiful has truly become America the Babylon. I've got four main reasons why I believe America is Babylon. And I'm going to talk about what we need to do about it. First proof, first evidence I would offer you that America is Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, as we find in Revelation 18, Isaiah 47, etc., is this: the last days are here. And America is the only economic and military and technological superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon. We've been looking in recent weeks at various reasons to believe that we are indeed in the last days. We looked at several reasons for that. The international effort to create global government system, which, by the way, is currently headquartered at the UN in New York City. We see Israel back on the world stage after 2,000-year absence. That, to me, is a sign that we're in the last days. We have technology that enables prophetic fulfillment, including like the internationally connected electronic banking system, the surveillance system, RFID chip technology, and the global database, enabling the literal fulfillment of the mark of the beast. Well, they will be able to monitor every purchase, every transaction. And then we also have technology that demands divine judgment, where man is trying to play Almighty God. We looked at that video about geoengineering with HAARP technology and chemtrails, filling the atmosphere with aluminum particulates to control the weather, use it as a means of warfare, man playing God. We saw how these efforts are literally destroying the planet, melting polar ice caps, causing global drought, enabling fulfillment of Revelation 11, verse 18, that says when Jesus comes, he's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. They are destroying the earth. Time is short. We're in the last days. The hour is late. The players are on the stage. And the last days are here. The only world power that can fulfill Revelation 18 is America. And so as we read through Revelation 18, it's painfully apparent to me that if the passage is to be fulfilled anytime soon, it will have to be fulfilled by America. America is the merchant nation. The merchant nation that has supplied products and merchandise to the entire world as described right here in this chapter. No other nation on earth has done so. Certainly not Iraq. But, you know, a lot of expositors today say Iraq is Babylon. No, Iraq is not the envy of the whole world. Iraq has not supplied all of these goods to the peoples of the world. America is the merchant nation. It's the only military power that can dictate to and control the kings of the earth or remove them at will if they want to, like we did Saddam Hussein. America has the only truly global military force right now, many times the size of all Europe's military, with 11 aircraft carrier battle groups, 80 submarines, and 1,000 military bases worldwide. So reason number one, the last days are here. And America is the only economic, technological, and military superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Actually, Jeremiah 50 and 51 both, I believe, apply to America together. It talks about the judgment on Babylon in the last days. It talks about an assembly of nations that comes up against them. I believe it also ties in with Ezekiel 38 and 39 relative to the Gog and Magog war. Jeremiah 50, verse 1. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. In those days, that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. What does that mean? You know, that, I believe that may well refer to the regathering of Israel, 1948 through 1967. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations. First it was a nation, now it's an assembly of great nations. I believe it was Russia and her allies from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her, and from thence shall she be taken. Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage. Your mother, Babylon, shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but shall be wholly desolate. Every one that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. I want to point out something to you in this passage. This says Babylon, this particular Babylon, this the daughter of Babylon, is a new nation. I want you to look in verse 12. Your mother, Babylon, shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land and a desert. That word, hindermost, the Hebrew word is akarith, Strong's number H310. It means the last or end. Now this is what Strong says. It means the last or end, hence the future, also posterity. Last, latter, end time. These are Strong's words. Last, latter, end time. This is a new nation. This is the newest of the nations. This is the latest of the nations. This cannot apply to the original Babylon. This is talking about a new nation that came up and has become the daughter of Babylon, the hindermost of the nations. By the way, that means the most recent of the nations, doesn't it? That's really what that word means. The most recent of the nations. In the history of empires, America is the most recent of empires, is it not? There's no question about that. America is the only nation, I believe, that is any kind of a world power that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon here in Jeremiah chapter 50. America is the hindermost or the hindermost of the nations. Another reason I would give, number two is America is the only new nation that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon, the only new nation. Number three is the international movement and drive to create a global government is clearly being led, spearheaded, and funded by America. And there's no question about that. It's no coincidence that the UN headquarters is located in New York City, along with that statue of the Whore of Babylon in the harbor. It's no coincidence that America is the developer and perpetrator of all the technology referred to a moment ago that enables prophetic fulfillment and that demands divine judgment. Electronically connected banking system, surveillance system, HARP technology, geoengineering technology, all developed and perpetrated by American companies. Really, this whole move to create a global government has been run and spearheaded by America. I don't need to go into detail. You guys know that. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm going to leave it at that because it's getting a little bit late. Point number three, the international movement to create a global government is clearly, obviously, being spearheaded and funded by America. And so point number four then is, or evidence number four, is that America's institutions, her national symbols, her national monuments, are intentionally patterned after Egyptian and Roman deities, which then are also derived and descended from the Babylonian religion. I want you to turn, please, in your Bible to Zechariah chapter 5, second to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 5. The influence of the ancient mystery religions as preserved by the Illuminati and by the lodges of Freemasonry is undeniable in America's public buildings and monuments, especially in Washington, D.C. The Masonic design of Washington, D.C., and its obvious layout in pentagram form has been well documented in several sources that we've looked at. We looked especially in the Leonard Ulrich video a few weeks back on the New World Order. Aside from the obvious Masonic symbology and influence in Washington, America's most famous national symbol stands in New York Harbor, raising her torch for the world to see, what we call the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty. That statue, I want to tell you, does not represent some form of embodiment or personification of the concept of freedom or liberty from tyranny or from oppression, as most tend to believe. And that world-famous statue standing in New York Harbor is one of the things that identifies that city as commercial Babylon, as it is, in fact, a statue of the ancient Babylonian goddess Ishtar. Some of the best documentation on this point was done by a man named R.A. Coombs. R.A. Coombs, who wrote a book titled America the Babylon, same title as this message. It's a good book. He wrote it, in, I think, about the early 90s. And he points out that Zechariah indicates that the spirit of Babylon, that the spirit of this whore of Babylon, actually moved from its ancient location ultimately to what is now America. So we're going to read this passage, and I want to actually read some of Coombs' commentary on this passage, Zechariah chapter 5, where verse 1 says, "And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. I said, What is it? He said, This is the ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then I said to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Like I said, I want to read to you a little bit from Coombs' commentary on this. First of all, I want to just kind of give an introduction to R.A. Coombs. He said, When I started my research, I held to the identity theory taught by my professors from the Moody Bible Institute and Calvary Bible College in Kansas City, Missouri, namely that the RCC, or the Roman Catholic Church, was the woman in Revelation 17, and Rome was the identity of the commercial entity of Revelation 18. Those were the standard theories in the 1970s. When I began my specialized study on the subject in 1987, you couldn't drag me to the conclusion that the U.S. was Mystery Babylon. It took 5 to 6 years of research before I began to accept otherwise, and not until 1995 was I convinced, after being dragged, screaming and kicking by the weight of the textual and empirical data, that America was Mystery Babylon. I stubbornly refused to accept the idea that America was Mystery Babylon, partly out of misguided patriotism, and I suspect also pride, that I had been duped for years about the true reality of America's history. I still wish I were wrong, and I still maintain a challenge to anyone to prove me wrong. Many have tried, all have failed, and failed miserably, just as I failed, in my quest to disprove the notion that America is Babylon, a biblical prophecy. So then he goes on in his commentary about Zechariah. He says this, Some ancient rabbinical commentaries on Zechariah were written about 300 B.C., citing rabbis who were assistants to Zechariah, who say that the prophet Zechariah had taught them that the woman of Zechariah 5 was the fallen angelic entity who was the guardian spirit, or the angel of Babylon, and that this spirit moved westwards out of ancient Babylon and would be relocated at the end of days in a place beyond the Nile River in the Great Sea. By the time of Jesus, rabbinical thinking was that Zechariah's vision of the woman pointed to her having moved on to Rome. In point of fact, the Ishtar religion's home base kept moving slowly westward. The religion's main base moved from Babylon to Assyria and into northern Syria in particular, where she was known as Ashtoreth, and also by that same name in Lebanon and Israel. Later, the Ishtar religion was picked up by the Egyptians. The original native Egyptians called her Ishi or Ishti. The Greeks found out about her and referred to her Egyptian version as Isis. The Greeks later adopted her religious doctrines from the Assyrians, Phoenicians, and Cretes as Astarte. Generations later in Greek culture, her name was changed to Aphrodite. Then the Ishtar doctrines were broken up into various goddess names for her individual character traits, one of which was the doctrine of liberty or freedom. Another was justice and another was war. The Rome was initially picked up on her dogma via the Greeks, and the first one they adopted was the goddess of freedom or liberty. And they called her the Libertas around 600 B.C. But by 400 B.C., they adopted other dogmas and incorporated much of her other mystery doctrines back into a single goddess known as Venus, or the goddess of love. Enter on the scene the Freemasons. Now, the early version of Ishtar in Rome, Libertas, becomes extremely critical to the Mystery Babylon prophecy because the Freemasons picked up on this aspect and used it as a political rallying cry in the mid to late 1700s, just in time for the American Revolution. American Freemasons like Ben Franklin, Paul Revere, Thomas Jefferson initially picked up on Libertas and placed her image on early U.S. coinage. Later, by the 1850s, she became part of the concept for topping the U.S. Capitol building dome, with a statue of her initially to be called the Statue of the Goddess of Liberty, a.k.a. Libertas, Goddess of Rome. Again, because among the many titles of Ishtar was her title as Goddess of Liberty, Freedom. She was also the Goddess of Immigrants. However, her chief title was the name Mother of the Harlots. a term of great holiness in her dogmas. Mother of the Harlots deals with issues of salvation and removal of sins by engaging in intercourse between the temple priestesses and worshipers for the removal of sin. By the way, she still stands up there on top of the Capitol. Then we come to the Capitol building itself. Standing guard at the entrance of the U.S. Capitol building is a statue of the Greek god Mars. According to the U.S. Library of Congress and the Office of the Architect of the Capitol, the Greeks borrowed the god Mars and their religious dogmas from the Babylonians. In Babylon, he was called by various language dialects Marduk, Marduk, Merodach, and in the Aramaic, he was Baal. His Hebrew title was Baal. So we have a statue of Baal guarding the entrance to the Capitol up on the portico. So after the Civil War, the Statue of Liberty Project came into being, again urged on by the Freemasons. The sculptor was a high-level Freemason who designed the statue to be his mind's-eye rendering of the goddess Libertas of Rome. Her seven-spiked crown is a dead giveaway to her Babylonian connection to Ishtar. For Ishtar was adorned with the crown of seven spikes. Indeed, one of Ishtar's mystery doctrines was that each spike in her crown reflected the occult enlightenment of her brother, the sun god Utu, upon each of the seven hora, or continents, and the seven seas of the world. Again, part of the Masonic secret dogma surrounding their worship of Libertas, or Ishtar, is found in their secret ceremonies at the upper levels beyond the 33rd degree. Her pedestal retains a symbol of another symbol of Ishtar, the star-shaped base. He says, I've only scratched the surface here, but this explains to you a little bit about, you know, the basis and the history of the Statue of Liberty, and it's completely a Masonic symbol having to do with the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, not just some personification of the concept of liberty. It's a goddess, this harlot that sits upon many waters. Many waters being represented by the seven horns, the seven seas of the world. So these four arguments explain why I believe America is Babylon, and therefore I'm going to let that be the conclusion of my thesis here. America, I believe, is the final Babylon. Furthermore, turn back to Revelation 18. I believe part of this prophecy has already been fulfilled in Revelation 18. I believe the first three verses have already been fulfilled because America has already fallen. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I do believe these verses have already been fulfilled. America has already fallen. We talked about Christian America. America the beautiful, on whom God shed his grace, has fallen. And as it says here, and has become the habitation of devils. It didn't used to be, but it has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And has become America the Babylon. What does this mean for America? We'll talk about that. What does this mean for America? America is already, I believe, the last day's economic and military power that drives the New World Order and from which the UN is headquartered already. America is now spearheading the New World Order and will be, I believe, the power base for the coming Antichrist. I do believe that the Antichrist will come to power through the office of the presidency of the United States. He'll be very well informed about American and world history and global politics. He will know very well what the Bible says, just as does his father, the devil. I believe he will speak plain English with eloquence. I believe he will come in peaceably, but he will not leave peacefully. He probably will be elected into office, but then I believe during his term, the Constitution and free elections will finally be suspended, martial law will be declared, and this man will become an absolute dictator who will have control over the world's most powerful military and the world's most powerful economy. I have news for you. We are almost at that stage right now. All it will take for us to get there is the creation of one more false flag Reichstag event, one more 9/11, but on a larger scale. And the deed will be done. And then this man of sin will be literally possessed by the devil, will magnify himself above the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will make war with the saints to overcome them. As he has already been authorized to do in several pieces of wicked legislation passed by our treasonous Congress, like the Patriot Acts, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, and the so-called Obamacare, the summation of which amounts to a declaration of war against the American people. All of which, by the way, were passed into law by a treacherous Congress filled with treasonous traitors who sold out and betrayed the Constitution and the people who voted them into office, just like the Roman Senate did in the days of the Caesars. What this means, I believe, for America is that America has already fallen. And I believe in one day, in the not-too-distant future, we'll be judged. We read Revelation 18. We read about the judgment upon Babylon. What does this mean for us? You can go back and study that chapter. What does this mean for us? For God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians who find ourselves dwelling in the midst of Babylon, which is where we are. What should we do with this information? I refer you to Revelation 18, verse 4, where it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." I do believe that call is going out to God's people living in America today. Not necessarily secession, not necessarily to move geographically out of America altogether, although that might be a good idea. But for those of us that cannot afford right now to move out of America, pull up stakes and move out of the country, there are many ways that we can come out of Babylon right now. I discussed a little bit last week. First of all, we can come out of Babylon politically. We can come out of Babylon politically. We need to, as Americans, American Christians, repent of what I would say is American pride and false patriotism. Like I said last time, we need to pledge allegiance to King Jesus, not to any flag.
Amen.
Well, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. We all know that song. I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. Perhaps we could sing that song 100 years ago. But those days were long gone, long before that song was ever written. That stupid song was ever written. You know, you'd have to be a complete ignoramus to believe there is still freedom in America today. You have to be an ignorant moron to think that you're free living in America today.
Free-range cattle.
That's right. I like that. I've quoted from before a poem by Thelon Pollock wrote in 1986. I'm going to quote just an excerpt from that poem again today. You think you're free? Listen to this. He says, "Your freedom gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, I would add what used to be, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel, permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no choice in choosing how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your moral values can't be taught, according to the state. You read about the current news in a controlled and biased press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver or of gold. You trade your wealth for paper, so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God to shame. You've taken Satan's number as you've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm, so they can padlock churches and steal the family farm. They keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oath they've sworn. Your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders ship artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter, fighting other people's wars." That was 1986. We've gone a long way downhill since then. I've got news for you today. I am not proud to be an American. In fact, thanks to George Bush and Hussein Obama, I am ashamed to be an American today. The American military has been used by the money powers that control the White House, which in turn controls the military, to maim, torture, and mass murder hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan, to support their drug trade, and to prop up the American dollar by controlling the flow of oil. I am ashamed to be an American today, and I will not pledge allegiance to the flag under whose colors those deeds were done. I will not pledge allegiance to that flag. I haven't for years. I certainly won't now. I taught my kids not to pledge allegiance to that flag. As I stated before, the Christian founding fathers of America, and many of them were Christian, born-again Christians. They weren't all deists. They would roll over in their graves to know that the American people pledge allegiance to that flag. In essence, pledging blind allegiance to the state. By the way, except for the phrase under God that was added to that pledge in the 1950s, the Pledge of Allegiance was written in the 1890s by a socialist and godless evolutionist named Edward Bellamy. John Dewey, the great 1930s advocate of public schooling, government schooling, and a socialist himself who was fond of Russian communism, took many of his ideas, socialist ideas, for education and indoctrination from Edward Bellamy. By the way, he called Edward Bellamy the great American prophet. And he said this of Edward Bellamy: "What Uncle Tom's Cabin was to the anti-slavery movement, Bellamy's book may well be to the shaping of popular opinion for a new social order." This is the author of the Pledge of Allegiance, a socialist. There is something that all Americans, whether Christian or not, need to understand, and you need to get this. It is a good thing for a politician to pledge an oath to the Constitution. It is a bad thing to pledge allegiance to the flag, to the republic, or to the state. It is the Constitution that protects the people's rights, not the flag nor the republic. The Constitution created the republic and was founded on the principle that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. If the Constitution is ignored, then both the Republic and our rights are lost. Support for the flag or for the Republic that does not include fidelity to the Constitution leads to statism. Statism. To state-issued privileges rather than God-given rights. And that's exactly where we are today. The Republic is lost. Babylon is fallen. And I've got more bad news for so-called conservative Christians today who think we can take America back. The money powers that control Washington, D.C. also control the press and the ballot box. And they will never allow a constitutionalist into the White House again. There was a good man in that office named John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who saw the light after he came into the office and had the courage to turn on and stand up the money powers that probably put him there. They didn't let him live very long. There is no political solution to America's fall. There is no political solution. The only hope for America is for Christ to return and to create new heavens and a new earth. For Christians living in modern-day Babylon, we must remember that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That word conversation in that verse is the word polituma. It's the only place in the New Testament that word is used, polituma, from which we get our word politics. The word means political affiliation. It means citizenship. He's saying our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, the same Apostle Paul says, "Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You've been born again. You have been translated into His kingdom. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are no longer a citizen of this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says. And we're to be heavenly minded. We've got a new law now. This is my law book now. Amen. God's word is my law. Jesus Christ is my king. Obama is not my leader. The Lord Jesus Christ is my king. And I pledge allegiance to Him. As the founding fathers said, we'll have no king but King Jesus.
Amen.
And as they said in the book of Acts, these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. We will not say Caesar is Lord. We say Jesus is Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to come out of Babylon politically. We need to realize that this is our law book. We need to come out of Babylon spiritually as well. Spiritually, we need to be on guard against Babylonian influences in our culture. By the way, that includes celebration of Babylonian holidays like Easter and other pagan holiday practices. We need to come out of Babylon. We need to come out of Babylon economically. There is no doubt in my mind that the Social Security number is a precursor to the mark of the beast. There's no doubt in my mind. That was the driving belief that caused me to decide to resist this wicked income tax, resist the slavery of the income tax. And there is no doubt in my mind that one day soon, everyone in this room will soon have no choice but to take the same stand. We're going to have to learn how to function outside this wicked banking system. We're going to have to learn that. We're going to have to establish barter systems. We're going to have to establish arm's length relationships with trustworthy pagans, if you can find any, to barter with. We're going to have to learn to function outside this system. We've got to come out of Babylon economically. I think we should maybe consider getting out geographically if we can, at least getting away from large metro areas, definitely, because when the judgment of God comes down, I mean, I don't want to be anywhere near any metropolitan area. We need to be wise. We need to seek the Lord for deliverance. Turn, please, back to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah in the Old Testament, fourth book in from Malachi, chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. That's supposed to be us, isn't it? Jesus said, for the meek will inherit the earth, didn't he? Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek meekness. It may well be. The Lord will hide you. He'll take care of us. He'll protect us. That's what I'm hoping for. God's faithful. He's always been faithful to me. Always been faithful to us. Amen, Mary. He's faithful. He won't let anything come my way, any harm, any judgment, that He hasn't, for some good reason, allowed. And He's faithful. It may well be that He'll hide us. Amen. Seek meekness. That's what we need to do. We are living in Babylon. Think of yourself as Daniel or as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego living in the midst of Babylon. That's where we are. We're God's people living in Babylon. We need to come out and be separate, saith the Lord.
We're out of time for today, but we hope you listen to this series of messages on America the Babylon in its entirety. While we believe it is undeniable that America must be identified as commercial Babylon of Revelation 18, in part 4 of the series, we show the Vatican connection from Revelation 17. America does have a mother that gave her birth, but it's not Britain as many believe. Her true mother is seen in Revelation 17 as the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters, which is none other than the Roman Catholic papacy, headquartered at the Vatican in Rome. While New England was first settled by the Pilgrims, the America that was born in 1789 was far more the creation of the Vatican and its army of Jesuit infiltrators, working behind the scenes both in Europe and America, through which Rome created a nation that it could control and use as a military sword and spear to build its global New World Order, as Rome has done and still does through its papal emissaries at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. You can hear these programs and others by going to the sermons page on our website at www.independencebaptist.com. Once again, that's www.independencebaptist.com. If you appreciate this program, we'd like to know it, so please take a minute to send an email to us at truegospelbroadcast@gmail.com. If you don't have email, you can also write to us at Post Office Box 99 in Brooksville, Florida, 34605. Lord willing, we'll be back next week on the True Gospel Broadcast, so please join us then. Until then, may the Lord bless and keep you in His grace.